T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Feeling it as we move along here at 6 o'clock sharp. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris. 97.3 The Fan coming up. A little round of Two Truths and a Lie. A little game show that we invented a few months ago. We'll have that for you coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll also hear back from Will Leitch of MLB.com talking about the upcoming Major League Baseball season, which is looking a whole lot more likely for some reason today than it was 48 hours ago. Maybe just because there hasn't been as much news about positive test results, and people seem to be settling into the idea that maybe 2 weeks from now we will have Major League Baseball. One thing I noticed, Tony, I don't know if you saw this, we haven't mentioned it yet, but Major League Baseball today released the schedule for 2021.
I did see that.
Not for 2020, which they just released like 4 days ago, but now they've already released the schedule for next year, 2021. So I don't know if you really, I mean, we haven't even started this year's schedule
yet. Do you have it in front of you?
The only thing I have is that Interleague next year is NL West versus AL West, which is
the same thing.
Same as they're doing this year in the shortened season. So, that's the way Interleague play. I guess it makes me feel like they were doing the 2021 season before they ever put the 2020 season together. And they just can't change it now.
What is the thing around the time normally that the next year's schedule would come out, though?
Is this normally
about
July for the following season?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, it looks like the Padres are going to play the AL West. God, I'm so happy because that means they'll keep alive their streak of getting to play the Mariners 19 times next year.
I get to see D. Gordon more. That's great.
Yeah, your buddy D. Gordon. One of the more interesting games on the schedule for next year is the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, Yankees, Mets.
Yankees are going to play the Mets at Shea Stadium, so that'll be an emotional one. Dodgers will open their home schedule next year against the Nationals. All-Star game will be in Atlanta next year. Anyway, just some of the things to look forward to for 2021.
Atlanta next year, back to L.A. 2022.
Back to L.A. for 2022, where it was supposed to be this year, yeah. So, but, I don't want to get too knee-deep into the 2021 schedule because we haven't even got the 2021 underway yet. But we're hopeful that 2 weeks from today, it'll be Yankees-Nationals, it'll be Dodgers-Giants, and then the following day, July the 24th, 6:10 p.m., right here on 97.3 The Fan, the Padres will host the Arizona Diamondbacks, kick off that 60-game sprint. And we talked about this yesterday with A.J. Cassavell. It is really the sprint in terms of getting out of the gate quickly because the Padres play 17 of their first 23 games against either the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks. And those are the two teams you would figure, anyway, that they'll have to beat out to win the division. So you'll find out right away whether or not they're a contender. 17 of the first 23 games starts with 4 against Arizona on July the 24th. Yeah. All right. One thing I like to do on Thursdays, I don't know what we were supposed to talk about in this segment, but one thing I like to do on Thursdays now, Scraby, is what?
I don't even want to answer, honestly.
Why not?
Because you're a fake fan.
Oh, my God. I watched the last three holes of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. I saw the whole thing develop. DeChambeau, brilliance, fantastic golf action, Jim Nance on the call, the whole thing. I'm telling you what, I'm turning over a new leaf, Scrape. Turning over a new leaf.
He's trying to bait me.
Why do you think he's trying to bait you, man?
Because he's not turning over a new leaf. Once baseball's back, once football's back, he will not even...
Well, he never claimed that he was going to start watching golf more than baseball. He just said he was going to start engaging a little bit more.
I've engaged in golf. Every Thursday, I check the leaderboard now on these tournaments. That's not good enough for me.
Well, you know what? You know what's great? Nothing's good enough for you.
You know what? There would be something good enough for me. It would be to actually care about the game that I love so much.
For me to watch all four rounds from start to finish?
Scraby doesn't even do
that. No, that's not true. I was just about to say. When you guys log on to the Zoom call, what am I usually watching back there on Thursdays and Fridays?
It would be nice if you were doing
golf,
your work.
But we don't have any proof that it's golf.
I've showed you guys before.
Who's leading the tournament this week?
Today? It's a fake tournament.
Don't be looking it up. Don't be looking it up now. You're a big golf fan. You're a fanatic. You watched every minute of it today. Who's leading?
Stop looking at your... I see
Stop.
You looking
He's
at your
cheating.
Computer,
He's looking
bro.
At his board. He's looking
know.
It up.
He has no idea.
The true golf fan.
So who's the fan?
Is it Hideki Matsuyama?
It is not. Oh. Is it? Who's the true fan? The guy who knows who's leading the tournament or the guy who doesn't know who's leading
the only reason
tournament?
You know is because you're typing in PGAtour.com right now. I can see you in the camera.
I'm not typing in anything in. I'm just looking at the leaderboard. That's all.
He's already got it up.
He had his leaderboard up.
I already had it typed in here. Yes. Colin Morikawa is on top, 7-under 65 today. He's got a one-shot lead over Adam Hadwin.
Oh, yeah, he's from Canada.
He's a Canadian. Oh, listen to Scraby now try to sound like he knows what he's talking about.
No, I do.
Hell, he's from Canada.
Adam Hadwin is, I believe he's one of those
guys.
We
don't need their bios. We just wanted to know who was on the leaderboard.
We don't need their bios. We're just giving a little rundown of where these guys
Adam
are.
Adam Hadwin has a cool story, though.
I don't care. Pat Perez has a cooler story. He's from San Diego. He's 4-under par, so he's only 3 shots off the lead. Go get him, Pat. Good day for Xander Schauffele. He's 3-under par, only
Go
4
Aztecs.
Shots off the lead. And Mickelson was in the hunt there for a while.
He's not playing
Mickelson,
well.
At
Mickelson,
3-under par. And Mickelson, then I looked at his finish. He was over par. So
he bombed a driver today. Like I've never seen him hit
374.
A ball so far.
Yes. I was watching.
374.
You were not watching. You
I was
got an
totally
update
watching.
On your phone. You got a Bleacher Report update
on
your phone.
And you know what? I love Phil. I love Phil. But he's got to get rid of the Aviators.
You know you're a fan of saying, you know, I love this guy, but you know what I can't stand about him? That's like your favorite two things
to put
together.
I didn't say I couldn't stand this about Phil. I just thought that it's time to get rid of the Aviators.
Leave Phil's style alone.
You guys know how much a fan we all are of Phil. He was 4-under par on the front nine today. And then 5-over par
Yikes.
On the back nine. Yikes.
It's a tough
including
golf course. Memorial.
Including a double bogue there on 16.
I know
Mickelson.
Phil looks good, though, this year. He looks like he's
looking a little better. Yeah,
he's healthy.
Plus one for the tournament. Brooks Koepka, you'll be happy to hear this, Scraby. He's at +2. He had a tough day.
He's going to make a run tomorrow.
He'll make a run tomorrow.
Why do you have to even put that in the universe?
Our good friend Charlie Hoffman is 2-over par today. I really get a kick out of looking at these guys. Jim Furyk, who shot the only 58 in PGA Tour history. We found that out on Chris vs. the Fans today. He is 3-over. And the guy I was really looking for on the board was Bryson DeChambeau. I wanted to see how he does this week coming off of his victory and seven straight top 10 finishes. Where do you think he's at, Scraby?
He's probably sitting at home eating his protein shakes.
That's what he's doing. He's not playing. I know that.
Because
not in the tournament.
Let this man live, man. He wants to drink his protein shakes. Let him get buff.
Scraby, he's got to bulk up a little bit before the next tournament.
I know why for a fact you guys are going to be watching on Thursday of next week.
Yeah, because
what's
playing.
Next Thursday?
Yeah, Tiger Woods is back. It's for the Memorial.
That's why I watch.
Same course. It's kind of weird. They put together this tournament that they're having this week in less than a month. They put it together because it was supposed to be held in Silvis, Illinois for the John Deere, but they canceled the tournament, so they needed a place to play. Jack Nicklaus said, come on over to my place, and they're going to play 2 weeks in a row there.
At Mirrorfield Village?
At Mirrorfield Village, yeah, same course.
Oh, man.
Can't be that tough if the guy shot 7 under 65.
Well, my you can make goodness. It much more difficult. This is the site of a Ryder Cup place, so
this is
it's
like
a
the
difficult
easy
golf
week?
Course.
This is the easy yes. week compared to next week?
Yeah, next week is brutal.
We didn't have you. We didn't have you with us earlier this week when they made the announcement on the Ryder Cup biting the dust for the year. Are you all right with that, Scraby?
No,
your boy was the main one telling them not to have it.
Rory,
yes,
I know he was. I know. I'll stick
that
with Rory.
That piddling little guy, Rory McIlroy.
That piddling little golfer.
I'm going to stick with Rory's. Whatever he wants, I want.
Well, I can't believe that because you're not going to get your Ryder Cup this year.
You know. It's for a good reason. The only other time they've postponed a Ryder Cup was due to 9/11. So I think if they're going to postpone another one, it might be due to something as you know like this.
As I said to Chris, that is one where you actually kind of need the fans on that particular.
You definitely
tournament.
Need the fans.
You need the fans, and you need some contact because guys are hugging and high fiving
right,
the whole
right.
thing and cheering for each other a little bit. So. No Ryder Cup for Scraby this year. He'll have to do without it. But are they having the Ryder Cup next year and then moving the President's Cup back one
yep.
round?
Yeah, yeah, they're going to do that. Because, so it's going to be back to the regular.
Because I am not a fan of the Ryder Cup, but the President's Cup now, that's a totally
I've never
story.
Heard anyone in my life tell me that. I've never heard anyone in my life tell me,
you know why?
I can't stand the Ryder Cup, but I love the President's Cup.
You know
Cup.
Why? Because no one's ever said that before. That's the first time that sentence has ever been uttered. That I don't like the Ryder Cup, but I'm a fan of the President's Cup. I don't even know what the President's Cup is. I barely know what the Ryder Cup is.
Do they repick captains? Like, so Tiger was the President Cup captain last year,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They have a new
do
one for the Ryder Cup.
Do they repick a new captain for a Ryder Cup? How does that
they
work?
They do for each year, yeah. Each event, they do pick a new captain. So.
And who's they? Who gets to pick the U.S. captain?
There's a Ryder Cup committee here.
A committee?
Yeah. So there's a committee, and then they pick the captain.
How do you get on that committee, Scraby? I think
you have to be a part
to,
of that. You have to be a part of those teams. You can't. Oh, I mean, it's a very exclusive.
Tiger
club.
Will be on the committee then this next time. Then.
Yeah, Tiger's pretty much set for the committee for the rest
until
of his
he,
life.
Until
he will qualify as a committee member.
Yeah, Phil's on the committee, I believe. Ricky Phil's Fowler is on the committee.
Why do they change up the captain and that the captain gets the final say on who plays with who, right? Is that
yes,
kind of
they
deal?
Make all it's they're kind of like the manager of the golf course where they do the matchups and mm-hmm. I like this guy against this guy, I like this guy playing with this guy for this format type of thing. And then my favorite thing was when Tiger was the captain or he was the vice captain of a Ryder Cup, he just rode around a golf cart all day with his radio in his ear. And then he was with Lindsey Vonn at the time, and I don't know why I'm telling you guys this, but it's hilarious. She tried to put a squirrel on his head during the Ryder Cup, and he turned around and he gave her that look like, what are you doing?
What the hell are
yeah.
you doing right
she
now?
Tried to put a squirrel on his head.
That might have been yeah. the beginning of the end for them.
I think it might have been, honestly.
Now, why don't they stick with a guy? Like, if you're the captain of the Ryder Cup and you win, why don't you get
you can
let
do
the guy be captain again? I mean, he's on a roll.
You can do that.
Keep
I mean,
going.
That
has it
has
been
happened.
Done before?
It's happened
okay.
before, but
okay. Seems like
usually it's a one and done. But I think now with Tiger and with Phil coming up, they're going to have to alternate, and it's going to be another competition for them. Who can win more Ryder Cups as captain?
Oh, he's got one. Tiger's got one on him right now.
And what's the difference? Because yeah, so I mean, this is honest. What is the difference between the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup?
The Ryder Cup is America versus Europe, and the President's Cup is America versus the world minus Europe.
So that's the best way to.
Is there another
it.
Tournament where Europe plays the rest of the world and the Americans are not involved, or are we so arrogant that we have to be in one of these things?
But don't even start with it. Chris always goes to the
he
arrogant
thing.
He
likes to go that
he
route.
He loves
doesn't he?
To go yeah. to the arrogant part just because.
Well, we feel like golf revolves around us here in America, and you've already told us many times, Scraby, that that's just not the case. The sport was invented
it was.
Across the pond, as,
absolutely.
You, as it were.
You're absolutely.
Maybe they, we just they, have the best were, tools to actually execute these two tournaments.
Well, back when they started the Ryder Cup, it was a big discussion of who was better, Europeans or Americans. Americans were always better at golf for the longest time, and then the Europeans got really good when Seve came around, Ballesteros and Nick Faldo, some of those guys. And then in 1990 at Kiawa, they had it's called the War at the Shore, ooh. And they Bernhard Langer. He missed a putt of like 3 feet, and the teammates on the American side said they felt bad for him because it was that big of a putt.
Wait, his teammates on the other side? What does that mean?
Or his opponents. His opponents, sorry. No, his opponents felt so bad for him. They said they've never, you know how you say that thing, you can cut the tension with a knife?
Yeah.
They said they've never been in a situation where they could feel tension before, and they felt tension that
for
day.
For
Bernhard Langer. Yeah.
Bernhard Langer.
He's from Germany.
Yes.
Oh.
He's very good.
Who's made the most clutch putt in Ryder Cup recent history for the Americans?
Oh.
There were some good ones last year in the President's
Cup.
See if we're thinking along the same lines.
Jeez, you put me on the spot here. For the Americans?
For the Americans, clutchest putt, like biggest, led to the biggest celebration that I can remember. The other thing I remember about this particular putt and the celebration
is
that the Americans were wearing the ugliest shirts
Justin
in
Leonard.
The history of golf.
Justin Leonard. They wore shirts with like portraits of dead presidents on it.
It was
really
so
strange.
Bad.
I'm glad that our fashion has gotten better over time.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we improved in that area.
All
right, there
Sweet
we go.
Sweet golf talk, guys.
You're welcome, Scraby. See?
Thanks.
Just for you. One golf fan to another. We'll take a timeout when we come back. We will play the game show. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. Scraby will try to figure it out because he's the host of it and often gets it mixed up himself. But that's part of the fun. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. continuing on Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station. This is 97.3 The Fan. A look at traffic, if you'd please, with Kelly Dan.
+621 on the clock. You're in the happy hour. Working from home? You can stream 97.3 The Fan on your home computer by going to 973thefansd.com and clicking on the Listen Live button. We're here for you, San Diego. Thanks for listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I believe we have the game Two Truths and a Lie on the way, huh?
We sure do. No open.
Okay, there it is.
I was waiting to see what was going to happen there. But it's pretty simple. Exactly like it sounds. I'm going to give three statements. One of them is false, two of them are true, and Tony and Chris are going to try to determine which of the statements is false. And Tony won this game last time. So we're going to start with Tony, and we're going to go from there. It's not a snake draft. It's just back and forth, back and forth.
How do you determine which games have the snake draft?
Whenever I feel like it's fairer to have the snake draft.
Basically, that means he doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
No, I do know. I do know. What do we use snake draft for? We only use it for one thing, which is getting to know us on Tuesdays, usually.
Fantasy only.
Snake draft.
Love the snake draft. All right, here we go. Tony, you're up first.
Bring it.
Two truths and a lie. I have lived in these three cities. San Francisco, Cincinnati, Seattle.
The answer to that is C, Seattle.
All right, Chris. I've lived in these three cities, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Seattle.
I don't know what you're doing in Cincinnati, but you haven't lived in Seattle.
You both are correct. I wanted to start with an easy one. You know, build Chris's confidence a little bit, get him on the board.
Well, that's very
kind of you. Taking shots at you, Chrissy.
Well, he knows I lack confidence in general.
I don't think that about you. Mm-hmm. All right, score is tied 1-1. Chris, you're up first on this one. Two truths and a lie. Tom Hanks has won the Best Actor Oscar for these movies: Castaway, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump.
Castaway is the one he did not win for.
Okay, Tony. Tom Hanks has won the Best Actor Oscar for these movies: Castaway, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump.
I'm going with the same one Chris went with because he's the movie buff, so Castaway it is.
Oh, snake draft would have helped Chris in this, but it didn't. Both of you are correct. Castaway is the one he did not win for, which I can't believe he didn't. We've talked about this a lot on the show.
Well, he certainly deserved it for the other two.
Yes, he did. And Big. I liked Big. That was good.
Yeah, he could have five or six of them.
He could. He really could. All right, third category here for Two Truths and a Lie score is tied 2-2. and Tony's up first. These three NBA players have made over 2,000 three-pointers in their career. Jamal Crawford, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry.
Ooh, that's actually a good one. Give me the three. Dirk, Jason Terry, who was the other one?
Jamal Crawford.
2,000. It's got to be Jamal Crawford.
All right, Chris, these three NBA players have made over 2,000 threes in their career. Jamal Crawford, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry.
Well, this is usually where I start running afoul of the game because I disagree with Tony and he's usually right. I'll say Jamal Crawford's been around long enough to make 2,000. I'm almost sure Dirk was, so I'll go with Jason Terry.
You both are incorrect.
It's Dirk.
It was Dirk Nowitzki.
Really?
I believe
you know, after it came out of my mouth, I started envisioning his game.
It's not three games.
He didn't get down the 3-point line that much. He could knock him down.
I believe he had over 1,900 threes, but he did not have 2,000. Jamal Crawford's over 2,000. Jason Terry's over 2,000. So, score is still tied 2-2. Two truths and a lie. Chris is up first.
By the way, Russell Crowe was best actor that year that
Gladiator?
Tom Hanks was in Castaway.
Was that Gladiator year or was
yes.
that? Okay.
Gladiator.
That was a great movie. Chris, these three schools are in the ACC Conference for football. Syracuse, Duke, Maryland.
Maryland is not.
All right. Tony, these three schools are in the ACC Conference for football. Syracuse, Duke, Maryland.
Maryland is no longer in the ACC.
You both are? Correct. I thought that was going to stump you guys a little bit. When I think Maryland, I think ACC. I don't think Big Ten.
They used to be.
They used to be. Yeah, you were dead on if you were talking about, what, 7 years ago.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, these questions are being asked now.
So. I know. Apparently, I'm 6 years behind. It happened in 2014. They left the ACC. Yeah. Score side 3-3. Tony's up first on this one. Two truths and a lie. These three players attended and played basketball at Duke University. Harrison Barnes, Grayson Allen, Kyrie Irving. I don't know.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you frozen?
Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes. Chris, these three players attended and played basketball at Duke University. Harrison Barnes, Grayson Allen, Kyrie Irving.
You lie.
Are you just saying I'm a liar?
Yes, because Harry Barnes did not play at Duke.
You both are correct. Okay, this game is highly contested here, 4-4. I'm really hoping one of these next two throws one of you off. So here we go. Chris, you're going to be up first on this one. Two truths and a lie.
Okay.
These three cities have recorded the highest temperatures in United States history. Death Valley, California, Laughlin, Nevada, Dallas, Texas.
Death Valley's got to be one of them. So it's a coin flip. I'll say Laughlin, Nevada?
That's your
Laughlin,
answer?
Laughlin, Nevada.
All right. These three cities, Tony, have recorded the highest temperatures in United States history. Death Valley, California, Laughlin, Nevada, Dallas, Texas.
I'm going to go with Dallas, Texas as not being one of those three.
Chris says Laughlin. Tony says Dallas. I can tell you, one of you is correct. And that person is Tony. Dallas, Texas is not part of the highest recorded temperatures in United States history. So that puts him up 5-4 with only one to go. Death Valley.
Laughlin, Nevada actually just sounds like it's near hell somewhere. Like it just seems hot.
That was great. Death Valley recorded 136 one time.
I mean, hence the name. That's why I knew
exactly.
That
I've been to Death Valley. I tried to cook an egg at Death Valley. It worked.
Didn't work out? Oh,
it did work. It was kind of runny, but anyway. Last one, two truths and a lie. Tony takes the lead, 5-4 over Chris. Tony's up first on this one. These three UFC fighters have won 10 or more UFC title fights. Randy Couture, John
Couture?
Jones.
Wait, Couture?
Couture? I don't. Is Couture. It Couture?
It's Couture.
Randy Couture. I've seen the name before. I just can't pronounce it, apparently. Randy Couture, John Jones, George St. Pierre. 10 or more UFC title fights.
Couture.
Couture. All right. Chris.
I've never heard of any of these guys.
You've heard of John Jones and George St. Pierre.
I have not. I think John Jones is isn't he the guy that's like always in an unbelievable amount of trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I have to go opposite of Tony so I can try to catch up to him, but I don't know which one to pick. I'll pick George St.
Pierre.
Couture.
GSP. Yeah. George St. Couture. Well,
I'm trying to guess two people at once.
Tony already took the wind out of your sails because he picked the winner of
got
this
it right,
one,
huh?
Randy Couture.
All right.
And Tony goes on to win 6.
The champ is here.
To 4. Man, 6.
I don't think I've ever won this game. Ever.
Good stuff, guys.
Ever winning one.
Good stuff, guys. Well, I don't know if I'll ever win one. Tony's putting his tongue out to the camera.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Chris?
I'm fine.
All right.
I'm quite fine.
Good job, guys.
Well contested. I was over 50%. That's all. I can only control
can
my
do.
Own answers.
Right. This isn't a game that he lost. I just beat him today.
Yeah, he won it.
Wait, Chris, you shouldn't agree with that.
Yes, no, I do.
He knows what I mean. Scraby.
You were just.
I am not.
We were both great.
Sore,
you were just better.
Number one, I'm not a sore loser.
You try
to
make it different.
Number two, when I lose Scraby, I actually finish the game.
Oh, are we still talking
yes,
about that?
When you quit mid-game, that deserves to be brought up as much as possible.
Yeah, and I think a couple of weeks ago I was down like 4-0 in this game, and I came back and lost 4-2.
I actually refuse.
And I was proud of myself for staying in and at least continuing to play.
I actually refuse to talk about that moment anymore.
We don't have quitters. We don't do quitters, me and Chris at least.
I refuse.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, if you missed it earlier, we had Will Leitch on, and we had a really good conversation about where baseball is at, and we actually got to talk about the actual game of baseball. Stay tuned. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's 37 The Time. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Coming up on the end of a Thursday program, let's get one last check of traffic with Kelly Danik.
Going to find police investigation going on over in City Heights. This is the intersection of El Cajon Boulevard at Menlo Avenue. This was an officer-involved shooting happened around 4 o'clock this afternoon, so I'm going to try avoiding that intersection. That's El Cajon Boulevard at Menlo Avenue. Also, looks like a brush fire has been taken care of. Sweetwater Springs on and off ramps now open to the westbound 94. That brush fire was over to the right, westbound 94 at Sweetwater. Now reports of another brush fire eastbound side of the 8 near the 67. That is over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Talking about some baseball.
Joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Will, how are you doing today? Thanks for coming on.
Very well. I hope you're holding up well over there. Thanks for having me.
Yes, you as well. We obviously have seen some tests here that have come up, and you've seen some guys kind of bow out a little bit. And my guess is that that's got to be par for the course, at least moving forward, as we try to navigate this pandemic here in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because, you know, you want to start with the baseline of, well, any one person testing positive is obviously very scary and not ideal. And certainly this is a very serious situation that I think every day everybody understands how seriously you need to take it. I do think, however, that when baseball looked at some of the worst case scenarios of the number of people that would test positive, how a lot of this would work, they may have feared worse than this, to be honest, to start. I think it's actually somewhat similar to what you saw in the NBA. I think it was interesting that Michelle Roberts, who's the head of the Players Association in the NBA, when they did their initial round of tests, she said, listen, Lord help me, one is too many tests. But whew, I was really afraid there was going to be a large and massive amount. And, you know, I think it was a little scary, I think, at the beginning of this week because of the holiday weekend and there was some backup, some testers didn't show up. It certainly looked like this was in a perilous situation. And certainly, you know, everybody's just kind of taking this every 24-hour stretch. But I do think there's been some good news, that a lot of those testing snafus generally have been solved so far since the holiday weekend. It feels like something that baseball has understood the importance of to try to get on top of. It's certainly a scary situation, but you know, on Monday it looked like this might kind of careen out of control. It's not, certainly we're not through everything yet, but it does feel like maybe at least they're steering back to the track that you need to be, going to need to be on to get this going.
Yeah, I will. We kind of agree. I think both Tony and I looked at the numbers on Monday and Tuesday, and I believe it was 66 positive tests on the first run through. And you think that, boy, my goodness, 66, and 58 of those were players. And you're thinking, boy, that's quite a few. Until you realize how many tests have been given, and then you realize that 66 only works out to 1.8% of the tests being positive. Those percentages seem favorable to me in terms of at least getting a season started, and as long as you can keep the percentages around that number, do you think that that's how they're looking at it right now?
I think that what you're trying to avoid are situations that get out of control, and you know, and I think that a lot of this is going to rely on, like, that's what was scary about Monday. Was the positive test was one thing, but the fact that teams were canceling workouts because people weren't showing up to do the testers weren't showing up or they hadn't got the results back, that to me is a bigger problem than necessarily the percentage of players testing positive now, because you've got some time still. You know, you still got some time. We're 2 weeks away from the first Yankees Nationals game and Dodgers Giants game. You still got a couple weeks. There have been players that have tested positive and brought away. It feels like you can handle that as long as everyone is getting the test that they need. I think that's what I think has been encouraging about this week. The real issue is, frankly, something I think we're going to see in all sports is once you get this going, the way that you keep this going once it starts, if you're able to get it started, and I think that's on the right track now, the way you keep this going, you just need everybody to be on the same page for the next 2 months. You know, I think you're seeing this in the NBA as well. Like, it's one thing, like, we're going to figure out what happens next year. 2020 feels like, across all sports and in baseball as well, like, we're just trying to get what we can out of this year, and then we'll figure out what happens next year. We'll have a lot. And I do feel like that's going to require buy-in, not just from the players, but pretty much everyone involved with the organization of, listen, the season is 2 months. Can you be cool for 2 months? Can you not get in trouble?
Right.
Can you not go places you're not supposed to go? Can you just do that for 2 months? And then we will figure out next year. Can we salvage something now? And I think that's what it's going to require. But that's what it requires from the players and the people involved. What's required for Major League Baseball is to not have snafus like you had at the beginning of this week. Like that, when the A's are canceling workouts and the Cardinals are canceling workouts because they just don't have their test back, and you're hearing Chris Bryant say, I really thought we'd be in a better situation than this. That's scary, and that was something that would be Major League Baseball's fault. It does appear it was an issue with the testing lag from the holiday. That you got to get on top of. But if both those things can come together, I think you can actually finish the season and get the season going and get through kind of what we need to get to the end of the season. But it requires kind of buy-in on both sides in the middle of kind of a crazy situation going on nationally. So it's going to be hard, but I do feel better now than I did necessarily Monday afternoon.
Will Leitch, MLB columnist, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And Will, I think you're hitting it on the head. It really boils down to those guys being able to take care of business, not necessarily on the field, but off the field. And it seems pretty easy. And then you see a report like Fran Milreyes having to be kept away from the team because he posted something on Instagram. They realized he didn't have a mask. It's just doing something like that can ruin everything if somebody comes back tests positive. Let me ask you, let's put all that aside for a second. I know we have to focus on, let's talk a little bit about the actual game of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the teams that you are actually looking at in this 60-game season? Because there's probably more than the usual that really feel like they got a shot in this 60-game sprint.
Yeah, I mean, a 60-game sprint, I mean, the Tigers have a shot. I don't think the Orioles, probably not the Orioles, but the Tigers have a shot in like a 60-game season, right? And that's kind of the fun of it, right? Like, if this can work, this is going to be a blast. And I have to say, the idea, I've heard some people like 60 games, that's not a real season. You get through a season like
no
this
doubt.
And get a champion, that team has earned it. You will never convince me otherwise. That is a very impressive achievement if they're able to pull that off. So, yeah, I think there are certain teams. I wrote about this for MLB.com this week. I think there are certain teams that actually kind of have like a maybe a 60-game season works a little bit better for them. And the things I generally look for are teams who have maybe a lot of young players, a lot of young hitters in the lineup. I think it's generally accepted that hitters are probably going to be a little behind the pitchers starting out just because the timing is going to be off. And I think pitchers are going to be more likely to get injured. But I wouldn't expect a lot of offensive outbursts the first couple of weeks. And so what you're looking for is you're looking really for kind of young players to go on a hot streak, and you want lineups that are kind of deep. And then you also want, say, a pitching staff that gives you a lot of options and maybe has guys who – over the long haul, maybe they you don't trust them to make 34 starts in a season, but they're like a Rich Hill type or a Young Kim type, like guys like that. To me, Toronto is a good example of this. Like Toronto, Jin Ryu is a great example of a guy. You don't trust him for like a whole year, but for like a short season, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. They've got all those kind of young hitters waiting to explode. Teams like that, I wouldn't trust them over the long haul, but for 60 games, there's enough raw talent there that the depth maybe isn't as big of an issue. So I think there's teams like that, and frankly, I think that's the fun of this, right? That's the fun is, listen, if you tell me to make a prediction, I made predictions. We all thought there was going to be a normal season. So I made predictions for a 162-game season back in February. A lot of them have changed because I wouldn't trust a team like Toronto, or I don't know if I'd trust a team like Cincinnati, for example. I don't know if I would trust them over a 162-game season, but for 60, with as much talent they have, you can see that if the talent's there, the experience and the persistence and the ability to avoid injury, that doesn't matter as much. I really think it comes down to talent. I think teams that have a lot of talent, almost raw talent, have the chance to go on this sort of hot run, and maybe a full season would kind of outlast them a little bit.
Will Leitch, MLB.com columnist, joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. I'll ask you about the Padres real quick, Will. Do you trust them? We've been, you know, we're very close to the situation, but we look at the depth in their bullpen. We look at the potential depth in their starting rotation and feel that that is a strength that is going to benefit this ball club. We look at the fact that they only have to play the Astros 3 times and the A's 3 times. They kind of got a little break on interleague play scheduling, and they get 7 of their 10 games against the Dodgers at home. If that ends up meaning anything, but are the Padres a team you're willing to trust?
I think they've got a puncher's shot at this. But I think it's harder over a longer season. And I think this is a short season does, I think, really help a team like that. A lot of this comes down to how guys turned out. I actually feel like one of the most important players for the Padres this year is Tommy Pham. So let's see how Tommy Pham kind of recovers from everything. I feel like he is, as someone that watched him in St. Louis and watched him in Tampa Bay last year, Tommy Pham is one of the most underrated players in baseball. Like, he is an absolutely terrific player. And so I think he's key to a lot of things. But, yeah, I think when it comes to pitching, I know we're kind of used to this idea that, like, well, the best teams have the stud starting pitcher who comes out and throws, shuts them down in 8-9 innings. That's not the way baseball is going to be played over these next 2 months. You're going to have the idea. Honestly, they should make a win only require like 3 innings of the starting pitcher, because I think you're going to see a lot of that this year, particularly in the first few weeks. Because, like, you know, pitchers are just – they're still – it's going to be hard to get for them to kind of get back into the rhythm of everything and kind of stretch them out in this short period of time. And so a lot of ways you can have a great ace, but I still don't know if you're trusting that person for the first month of the season to throw 7-8 innings and just shut guys down. You want, there's value in throwing arms at the problem. I think that is the advantage the Padres have in pitching as well. Throw arms at the problem. You've got a lot of guys. Don't get cute about it. Just throw, like, who you got? Who you got, and put them in there. There's a lot of value in that, because I think that's kind of how this season's going to get pitched. It's just not going to be. It's funny, in a way, we've looked at a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, where they haven't had a complete game in like from a pitcher in like 2 years. And I think you're going to see that they're kind of the trendsetter in that generally. I think you're really going to see that this season. Yeah. I think you just the way pitchers are, you're going to want to throw guys just as many as you can. I think there's value in that. And I think if you've got enough guys that, and particularly because we don't know how injuries are going to go this year. To me, one of the I know everyone's all worried about COVID, and understandably so. But to me, the one thing I think this is going to mark this season are just the number of injuries that guys are going to have. Like, it's just not been an ideal training session. Baseball players are they're very finely tuned instruments, and yes, the system's been off this year, and things have been kind of strange this year. So I think you're going to see a lot of injuries. Depth, to me, seems like a really big deal this year, and I think that's something the Padres have.
Well, I get the sense from listening to you talk that you're not an asterisk type of guy in terms of the standings and the championship, but how do we dissect the numbers this year? I mean, it doesn't take much for a reliever's ERA to balloon, and 60 games might not be enough time to get that kind of stuff down. How do we really dissect numbers this year?
I certainly would not want to be an arbitrator with contracts coming up this offseason. Because, yeah, one bad, I think, will really mess everybody up. I think that, and also, frankly, I mean, 60 games, what do we hear about short, small sample size all the time?
Right,
this season is a small sample size this year. Like, if we think it's a small sample size, to me, but I think there's value and fun in that. Like, I think of, remember last year, Aristides Aquino from the Reds showed up in his first month and hit 14 homers. If he does that this year, he's Barry Bonds.
Right.
People come in and absolutely dominate. He was terrible the rest of the year. The pitchers figured him out, and then he just really struggled the rest of the way. But in this year, that's 81 games that he's doing that in. So to me, like, when it comes to number, like, that's the kind of the fun of it. To think of this season, go back and look at Player of the Month awards over the last 4 or 5 years, instead of number of names like, oh yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah,
well, for one month of the year, that guy, I mean, I think I remember that guy. What's his name again? Like, that guy, if he has a month like that now, is an MVP.
I think that
makes kind of the fun out of it, right? Like, that, to me, there's excitement in that. And I do wonder if teams that have a lot of young, emergent talent will have that advantage, because eventually, if you have a guy that comes in with incredible talent, Aquino is, I just think he's a perfect example of this. He showed up and none of the pitchers knew the holes in his swing yet. So they all got drilled. Like, he just destroyed everyone for a month. And then everyone got together with their scouting reports and said, oh, wait, no. Throw him the low stuff inside, he'll go for it every time. And
right.
He batted like 105 the rest of the way. The problem is if you don't, until you get that book on a guy and he just keeps doing it, it's half the season. So for me, there's a lot of excitement in that. But as for numbers, to me, the only real issue with numbers this year, the two things that I think that kind of get with me a little bit, it'll be really fun if someone hits 400. I'm not sure I'll entirely count it.
I'm not sure I'll entirely count it.
And I mean, it will be really cool, and it will be a really fun thing to watch, but I think we can all agree it will not be the same as Ted Williams. But the other thing that hurts me is the number of things, baseball is a sport that loves to compile numbers over seasons and histories and careers. This is going to be 100 games. Someone can play every single game, and it will still be like they missed a year. It'll be like World War II. They're like, oh, they were gone, and that's why they didn't get to 3,000 hits or 300 wins or so on. That, to me, is a bummer of the season as well, but I am not going to be weighed down by that. We have a chance to actually have a baseball season, and there were many moments during this year I wasn't sure that was going to happen.
Great stuff. Can I sneak one more question in, Will? I know you've been very gracious with your
honored.
Time. I'm just curious, the DH in the National League, something I'm okay with wrapping my arms around. I have to be straight, though. I still can't wrap my arms around a runner at second base to start extra innings. Where do you stand on that, and how crazy is that going to make the game?
I think it's gonna be weird. I understand why they're doing it. I do get it. Like, I also do not like it. For this year, you just don't need to have people at the ballpark for 5 hours. Like, it's just, with the compressed schedule, if you can wrap up a game quicker, I do get it. We'll see how it works. Apparently, in the minor leagues and in some of the independent leagues and minor leagues, has not been a major problem. I'll believe that. I don't think it's a major problem in the majors when I see it. Yeah. To me, my concern is, like, I know the major concern is whether they're just going to bunt. There's an argument whether they should bunt or whether they shouldn't. We've all been around managers long enough to know whatever the thing that will get them criticized the least, that's what they will do. And, And I do kind of feel like that's going to be mine. They're going to be like, hey, I'm on it. You know, I got him over in a second. I did the best I could to put a guy in scoring position at that point. And that's not exciting baseball. And I do actually like the rule that the runner that goes to the base is the one that made the last out in the ninth. That's actually a good idea, because otherwise it's like, hey, Jared Dyson's out there. Billy Hamilton, right. That's right. The rest of it out there. Sure. Like, I do think that's a good rule. But listen, I do not consider myself a insane baseball purist. I am open for the game to be able to try new things and bring in new fans and make the game more exciting. That really feels weird for me in the long term, I will confess. There's one thing to say, okay, well, we're trying to speed the game up. It's another thing to say, hey, look, up in space, a runner just came from space and landed on first base. That feels very, very strange to me. But we'll see. We'll see how it works. But listen, this, with like a lot of other things with this year, if there's a baseball game, I am not going to be like, well, this is not the way I grew up with baseball.
Right,
yeah, there's
right.
a lot of things that are different now that have been in the past in my life right now. I will take it if there means there's some baseball.
Will Leitch on the SDCCU fan hotline, closing things down for us on this Thursday. Tony Gwynn Jr., well done. Matt Scraby, way to get yourself out of a mood. We'll see everybody tomorrow at 3 o'clock sharp for Gwynn and Chris right here on 97.3 The Fan. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.